TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Football.
Welcome into today's episode of Purple Day. A little mix of how to fix the Vikings, Mel Kiper's first mock draft, and a little more juicy speculation for you. But we always quench our thirst on this show, a football-sized thirst, with Corona Hard Seltzer, Declan.
Yeah, if I was doing a mock draft of Corona Hard Seltzer, I think that first one off the board is always going to be that Blackberry Lime. I've made it very clear, my feelings towards the Blackberry Lime.
It's the Trevor Lawrence of Corona Hard Seltzer flavors.
It's the Trevor Lawrence. It really is. You know, the BYU kid... If I was a Zach Wilson guy, it's probably the mango, because the mango is a little different. It's a little athletic. I like it.
It's athletic.
It's athletic.
It's great in space.
Yeah, it's great in space. Got a killer arm.
Oily hips.
Big time cannon of an arm. That's Zach Wilson. This month and every month throughout the year, discover Corona Hard Seltzer, the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes, with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango, cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spike sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer, spiked sparkling water with natural flavors, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You like that? You like that?
Football.
Come on! Football!
Hey, can I hit that quarterback in the face? I want to do it!
Brian Baldinger doesn't just like football, he loves football.
Sometimes you just got to try the quick jam. The quick jam, bam, just get on him. Get on him as quick as you can, boom, then get off him. And then get ready to dance. Shuffle, slide.
Football!
Football, yeah! Football! Yeah. Football! Yeah. Football.
Yeah. Gotta eat!
We have more, too.
Sounds like the slide. Yeah. What was
shuffle,
that song?
Slide, shuffle. The electric slide?
The electric slide, yeah. Sounds like the electric slide.
Brian Baldinger doesn't just like football. He loves football.
Little quick jam. Little bam. Little punch. Knock them off bounds. You got to change it up. You get the predator off bounds, and then you dance.
Football!
The predator. Yeah!
Did he just say you get the predator off balance and then you dance?
We've graduated to predators now. Mm-hmm. We have predators.
The predator.
It's a football invasion.
It's not an opponent. It's not an adversary. It's not the guy across the other line. Line of scrimmage.
It's the predator.
It's the predator.
You get the predator off balance. He's trying to. He's trying to break into your home.
So, boys, yesterday's episode was one of our most popular episodes, non-Vikings vent line related, that we've had in a few months on Purple Daily. It's our full putting to bed of the Green Bay Packers and also what the Vikings can learn from championship weekend. A lot of Aaron Rodgers speculation in there too. So be sure to check that out if you missed it yesterday. We usually do how to fix the Vikings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I think it's going to be kind of an abbreviated how to fix the Vikings. Although I guess you have a question that you want to pose that's sort of, do you wish the Vikings were a different team?
Yes.
And you have one.
So yeah. I don't know if it's fixing them. It's more trading places.
So we'll get to that. But I woke up this morning and it was Christmas Day. If you are a mocker, I don't know if you guys had the same feeling of elation when you scrolled through social media and you saw the 1.0 mock of one Mel Kiper Jr. Boys.
I want a mock.
This is the first one. And they always have Todd McShay go first. Like, yeah. Why don't you go first?
He's the warm-up act.
Yep.
He's the warm-up. They
the
send
opener.
Him out.
The
yep. Yeah, they send him out, and we're like, okay, yeah. We want Mel. We want Mel.
And Mel makes him wait like an hour and a half. You know, Mel's still back at the hotel.
Hello,
drinking
mockers.
Some whiskey. Yeah. So Mel Kiper's 1.0. We're going to go through. If you could play some appropriate music here, Declan, set the mood.
I feel like you could go top 10 and Vikings.
I think so. I think I'm just going to go through it here.
Like, it's Mel, so.
All right, number one overall. And by the way, Mel doesn't do trades, okay? Very notoriously does not try to project trades.
Right.
This is just if everyone picked where they're supposed to pick.
Right.
Then the Jacksonville Jaguars would take Trevor Lawrence, number one. The New York Jets could do anything. I mean, if they're going to keep Sam Darnold. They could take an offensive lineman. They could draft a quarterback. Mel Kiper has them taking wide receiver Alabama Devontae Smith to help out their current quarterback. The Miami Dolphins taking Ja'Marr Chase. So two wide receivers in the top three. Just showing. I mean, those two guys are just ridiculous, maybe generational talents. The BYU kid, Zach Wilson, going number four to the Atlanta Falcons, which then opens up the door for Matt Ryan, 36 years old, to be available for trade or...
And so Justin Fields still very much there.
And he's still there because the Bengals take Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon at five.
I know where he's going now. Okay.
The other wide receiver stud from Alabama, Jalen Waddle, going six to the Eagles, who don't have any good players at wide receiver anymore.
Yep.
And then... the Detroit Lions, you've already said they're going to get rid of Matt Stafford. Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State. So three quarterbacks in the first seven picks.
Yeah, because I saw a mock last night that had the BYU kid going to Detroit. So they might end up in good shape quarterback-wise no matter what.
Looks like Teddy becomes available because at number eight, Trey Lance from North Dakota State quarterback goes to the Panthers.
Okay.
So Declan, your guy would be available for $20 million, but... Number nine to the Broncos, Micah Parsons, linebacker from Penn State. 10 to the Cowboys, Rashawn Slater, offensive lineman from Northwestern. Giants taking tight end Kyle Pitts from Florida. Niners taking Patrick Surtain from Alabama, cornerback. And then the Chargers taking Christian Darrisaw, the offensive tackle from Virginia Tech, which brings us to number 14.
Okay.
To the Minnesota Vikings, according to the godfather of mocks, Mel Kiper. He's got them taking offensive lineman from USC, Elijah Vera Tucker.
I want a mock!
Mock! All right, and he's got Mac Jones going to the Patriots at 15, which means five quarterbacks in the first 15 picks. So this is the write-up for Elijah Vera Tucker. Speaking of rising prospects, Vera Tucker had scouts around the league buzzing after a tremendous season. He moved from guard to left tackle and dominated for the Trojans. At 6'4", 315, he could play either position at the next level. The Vikings must solidify their offensive line around Cousins, even after spending second-round picks on Ezra Cleveland and Brian O'Neill in recent years. And Vera Tucker could be the long-term answer on the left side of the line. Cousins plays best when his running game is humming, and Vera Tucker is a great run blocker as well. Interesting.
Last time,
I haven't seen his name yet.
And last time the Vikes, of course, used a first-round pick on a tackle from USC was, Matt Khalil. That is intriguing. I think I honestly right now would lean towards defensive line. I think they're going to go defensive line in the first round. I'm not advocating it, but I think that's what they're going to do.
Just for fun here, Mel, some of the other names that we've sort of seen on the defensive side that have popped up. So Jalen Phillips is the defensive end from Miami that we see pop up. He's going 17 to the Raiders. And then Declan's guy that we just did a Dex Reviews on, Quiddy Pay, the edge rusher from Michigan, going 21st to the Colts. And the other defensive lineman from Miami, Gregory Russo, going 22nd to the Titans. So there's some other names that we've seen on the defensive lineman front. And Mel Kiper's got those guys after the Vikings pick at 14. So how do you feel about five quarterbacks in the first 15 picks there, too? Definitely a couple of busts in there if teams are reaching
that
aggressively.
You know what it feels like? It's starting to feel a little bit like, and I think that Lawrence is going to be outstanding, and I think Fields has a chance. But you know what? It's starting to feel like the Ponder draft.
Yeah, like if where like everyone was desperate, going to take Mac Jones at 15.
Where everyone who had to get a quarterback was just desperate. And they basically bailed on common sense. And they're like, screw it, I'll just take this guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, Ponder was a pick that the Vikings felt like, okay, the rest of the quarterbacks are gone. What should we do? Take another one.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel like that. Because Mac Jones at 15 feels forced.
It's completely forced. Especially, it's not like Bill Belichick. Maybe I'm wrong. He's not going to coach for like eight more years. Why would he want to do... I don't think they're going to go the rookie quarterback route. I think the Patriots are more likely to, in this game of musical chairs...
to get a quarterback.
To wind up with like a Matthew Stafford or something. Yeah.
Stafford makes perfect sense there, right?
Yeah.
So...
or Kirk Cousins.
So...
no?
What do you... yeah, Kirk Cousins. What do you feel is going to be, since Mel does not do trades, if the Jets decide not to take a QB... who do you think is going to go get a QB? Because I think that someone's going... If the Jets are truly not going to take one, and it sounds like... and I know it sounds crazy now, but that they might actually try and bring Darnold back and be successful there.
Yeah.
Who do you think gets up there to two and gives up a ton to do so? And do you think they take Fields or Zach Wilson?
Boy, I could see the Broncos trying to move up. I think the Broncos have been so quarterback starved. They've whiffed on first round picks. They've whiffed on a couple signings. Like, in terms of teams that I could see reek of desperation to try and get up and might be panicked that their guy might not be there, I could see the Broncos looking at Zach Wilson and saying, dude, we got to get this guy. And we're going to trade, you know, our ninth pick, next year's first round pick. I could see them. Some of these other teams are in interesting positions. And like the Falcons don't need a quarterback this year, but their current one is 36.
Yeah.
So how desperate are they? The Lions are going to need a quarterback.
Yes.
Are they going to aggressively trade up? I could see the Lions doing it, but the Broncos kind of screamed to me at nine of like, if you don't move up, there's going to be three guys off the board before you get there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Oh, interesting. Or the Broncos, four quarterbacks in the first eight picks.
Or George Payton could take a page from his guy Spielman's playbook and say, I'm not going to draft one. I'm going to go get one too. Because, I mean, there is going to be that's the one thing that makes this different to me, Phil, is the offseason movement of veteran QBs is going to be staggering.
It's nuts.
Like, just I want a mock.
Put a bow on the mock. That's Mel Kiper's 1.0 mock draft there. Dex, you can rip that music.
I can't remember the last time where we even had a discussion about this many. It's the magnitude. This many potential high-profile QBs almost starting to change teams.
And I think on tomorrow's show, we'll take that bin of quarterbacks and sort of sift through them and rank them and see where Kirk Cousins falls and whatnot. But you're right. Like, this is, I also think a lot of this, look at some of the teams that are saying we're going to move on, or that Mel Kiper has projected drafting quarterbacks. It's the traditional pocket passers that they're moving on from, right?
Yep.
It's the Lions moving off Matt Stafford. It's the Falcons moving off Matt Ryan. And there's some age things in there for sure. It's the Panthers sort of moving off of, like, Bridgewater is not the most mobile guy, and there's some injury issues there. So, like, the Lions going from Matt Stafford to young Justin Fields, and I think we've seen how mobile Zach Wilson is compared to what Matt Ryan has become in his mid-30s. Like, teams are looking around the league and saying, we need someone who can run away from pressure, because it's hard to get five perfect offensive linemen.
Right, exactly. Right.
Let me ask you this before we get into some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've seen Godfather Mock here, and he's saying there are going to be five quarterbacks drafted in the top 15 picks here, and the Vikings aren't going to draft one of them. Percent chance the Vikings draft a quarterback in the first round. Packers did it with Rodgers last year.
Yeah, I think it's about 5%.
I think it's pretty low, too.
I think that Zim and Spielman are going to be all in on trying to fill, right or wrong, immediate needs.
I agree.
And that's why I think they go D-line if Zim gets his way. And I would put the second best chance at O-line. So I think they either, and part of this depends on one thing. Does Riley Reiff, after he really got screwed at the beginning of last year and was told to take a pay cut or take a hike, and he shopped himself, and teams were like, we can't sign you now.
Yeah.
Does Riley Reiff accept the fact that when the Vikings come to him and say, oh boy, sorry about this, Reiffy, but we're going to have to cut your salary again, Reiffy.
Reiffy boy.
Riles, got some bad news for you. Does he take that, or does he say, screw you, I'm out? Because I do think that he could get probably like a 2-year contract somewhere right now. Because if he walks, and now you got to move Cleveland to left tackle potentially, you've got a lot of needs now.
And luckily, you'll know how that plays out before the draft.
But that would change but if Reiff walks, then I think the odds of the offensive line being dressed in the first round go up by a lot. But I would go right now, defensive line, offensive line, quarterback, I'd probably put like fifth. Like, I personally would explore it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they will.
Yeah. Also, you're not like, if the mocks are right here, if Mel Kiper is right, let's say that you've identified there are two franchise changing quarterbacks, and then there's three guys and Mac Jones and maybe Justin Fields where you think they could be really good, but it's gonna take some time and some development there.
Right.
I think in that case, I would say the capital that would cost you to move up to get one of the surefire ones, let's say it's Trevor Lawrence, who's not going to be available, but let's say that Zach Wilson is the other surefire one that you think, man, we have to move up into the top four. I just don't think you don't have a second round pick this year. Like, you're going to have to give up so much to move up. And if you're going to give up that much anyways, why not give up that much to get Deshaun Watson? But none of this is going to happen because the Vikings, I think, are going to try and run it back, like you said, with Kirk Cousins, and they're going to draft for trenches. The other piece of news that came out today from ESPN.com, Giants assistant defensive backs coach Anthony Blevins drawing interest around the league for special teams coordinator openings, interviewed recently with the Vikings and the Lions, according to a source. Blevins spent 7 seasons as an assistant special teams coach with the Cardinals and Giants. He's known to be honest yet positive and respected by players, and hopefully more organized than Marwin Maloof was coordinating special teams. According to footballoutsiders.com, the Vikings special teams unit ranked 31st out of 32 teams in special teams DVOA. They were god-awful, as we all saw, and the statistics bear that out. So
I don't
let's
care.
Fix that.
I don't care if he's a total jerk. Can he get these guys to play? Can he get them to make a tackle? Can somebody make a tackle? Can Chris Boyd not sabotage the special teams play of the season by basically jumping up and down like it's recess in third grade? I'm going to be open. Okay? I don't care what this guy does. This guy can rail on players. But, yeah, that was a disaster. I'm telling you, I don't think in my lifetime of watching this team play that I have ever seen the special teams as a whole be this inept and terrible.
You know, okay, so
think about all of the things.
In their worst special teams games, like the 2-block punts game, I think they actually may have won a couple of their worst special teams
games.
They
did win the Detroit game.
There was a Dan Bailey meltdown against the Buccaneers that was problematic. But
yep.
Let's say they had league average special teams, or even like top 10 special teams, compared to just being like one of the two worst.
Yes.
How would it have changed their season? It's for sure an extra win, right? Like, they would have found an extra win.
Well, yeah, because you'd probably be Dallas, right? Because if Boyd does not jump up and down and scream, I'm open, I'm going to be open, this is the greatest play of all time, and then he goes too early, they get that play and they probably, I would guess, they score. But here's the thing to me. So the most damning thing about everything. So everything that special teams goofed up, and there was a ton of things. The most damning thing to me is this one. It's the statistic about, and I think it improved in the last 2 weeks or the last game against Detroit, about punt return yards, which was mind-boggling low. If you aren't going to return punts, like if you are going to have through 12 games, like 12 yards or something ridiculous, Phil, you can't have fumbles. Like, you can't have any. Mm-hmm. You can't muff punts when you're basically fair catching them all. I'll go back to our guy Bobby Wade, right? Like, he didn't return, but he caught the ball. You had muff punts and no return yards.
It's like, can we just find someone to literally catch the punt?
It's why Marcus Sherrills had a job for so long.
Yeah, sure.
Marcus Sherrills had that job because he could return and he was good.
Bring him back.
Yeah, but, I mean, you understood the...
Sorry, I dropped my pen.
You understood the pressures of returning punts, and it's not a fun job. But they had no return yards, and their guy still screwed up. Yeah. I mean, BB had that ball basically go through him, and I think it might have been Carolina, and the Vikings got the ball back. But still, that can't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think it probably gets them an extra win or two. I don't think it drastically. I mean, that puts them in the playoffs. So I guess it does drastically change the course of their season.
You needed one more win.
So all right. The other this is kind of a newsy day here. So ProFootballTalk.com, and now that we're getting into this, it's a little bit of usually Thursday on Mackey and Judd is our reckless speculation show. So we're diving in a little early.
Reckless speculation.
And now that you mention it, Declan has actually demanded that before we get into any sort of speculative discussions about Rodgers or Vikings quarterback, that we do play a disclaimer for you.
Please,
all.
Please do.
Okay.
In the Minnesota sports media scene, fans are represented by two different yet equally important groups. The homers who play with positivity and don't like to have fun, and the realists who prosecute the offenders and recklessly speculate. These are their ideas.
Reckless speculation.
So this is a safe, fun zone for reckless speculation. Okay. If you're one of those people in like 2007 who was like, Brett Favre's not going anywhere. They're not going to get rid of Brett Favre. You guys need to stop with that bull bleep. Or if you were one of those people in 2018 or 19, that's like, Tom Brady's not going to leave the Patriots. Yep. That's ridiculous. You guys are just making stuff up, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Then you need to cool down and step aside and take your little fun police officer vehicles and move them, because this is a fun, safe space for speculation about Aaron Rodgers and potentially we can talk about Kirk Cousins in these reckless speculation segments.
Oh, we're going to go that far?
These are fun hypotheticals. I'm not saying that they are going to cross paths.
Yeah, because Deshaun Watson.
We're just having fun.
Not being traded.
It's a little reckless speculation.
Just no
friends.
Way he gets traded. They won't
Zero
do it.
Zero chance.
They won't do it. Stop with that. Why don't you guys talk more about special teams?
ProFootballTalk.com, and I read, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was sending a message to the team with his post-game comments after Sunday's loss to the Buccaneers. The message likely had multiple tentacles. Here's one. Per a league source, Aaron Rodgers wants a new contract.
Woo! Reckless speculation.
Rodgers should want a new contract, Florio writes. He makes $33.5 million per year. He's going to win the MVP award, and he's getting into the later years of his last deal, which will pay him far less in comparison to other quarterbacks. He's due to make $22 million next year, $25 million the year after, $25 million. So he's actually going to be on a discount for the Packers, even though he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. He currently ranks fifth in average new money value behind Chiefs quarterback Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, and Ben Roethlisberger, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If Rodgers officially asks for a new contract, he'll definitely get one thing, clarity as to where he stands in the organization. A new deal means renewed vows. No deal means the clock will still tick toward a potential, if not inevitable, divorce, especially with their first-round pick, Jordan Love, just hanging out and waiting.
Reckless speculation.
Your thoughts?
Oh, so juicy. So, so juicy. And for all of you who are going to try and dismiss this, stop. Something's going to happen. Listen, I can hear him walking out of Green Bay for the last time. I can hear it. I don't believe it'll be till 2022, but all of that being said, look, Aaron Rodgers can't be blamed for one thing, and he has not had that one thing since the day that Jordan Love was taken last April in the first round of the draft, and that's clarity. He wants clarity. He's a smart dude. That Sunday presser wasn't some, like, mistake. Like, he was upset, but that wasn't he got home and said, I wish I hadn't said all that stuff. It was speculative. It was reckless of me.
I think he wanted to say that stuff the day after the draft last year.
I think he did, too.
He just swallowed it.
But I don't blame him, and it was smart. And the fact that his coach actively submarined his chance to win that game by kicking the field goal on fourth down, I think emboldened him completely to go down the path that he did. And the contract makes perfect sense, because now he's going to force their hand to say, do you want me beyond 2022? Because if nothing else, Phil, Brady has proven that a guy like Rodgers is going to try to play until he gets into, 42, 43, right? So I think this is going to be so interesting to watch and unfold. And again, in my opinion, if you're a Vikings fan, you can't lose here, because the Packers eventually, they didn't take Love to scare Rodgers. They took him because they truly believe at some point there is going to be, say it with me, America, a transition of power in Green Bay. And the question is, will it be a peaceful transition of power?
Well, they did such a great job with the last transition of quarterback power in 2009. I can't, or 2007. I can't see how they screw this one up. Or 08, I guess, is when.
But isn't it? But it's so much fun.
It is so much fun. I'd like to take the fun to the next level, if you guys wouldn't mind here. Because I have an abbreviated miniature pecking order for you. I've got four potential future destinations for Aaron Rodgers ranked based on how much fun they would be.
Don't you do it, Phil. Don't you do it.
So, Deck, let's fire the music back up here, okay? Because this is going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is going to leave Green Bay however it happens, whether it's via trade or whether it's a release of some kind, or something's going to happen. They've already got the first-round pick replacement. They want to test drive that at some point, right?
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think it's really hard for it to happen this year. I think all sides come together and they make it work for 2021. And then the Packers probably take a step back or suffer a similarly devastating defeat in the playoffs. and then we're back to where we are, but it's easier then financially to move on after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think this is going to happen until 2022 as well. I wouldn't be shocked if he demanded that it happen this year, but here are four teams I think make sense for Rodgers and would be super fun if they happened. We'll start with number four, the San Francisco 49ers. Now, he's a Bay Area kid. He went to Cal. I think Kyle Shanahan, who has been cooking up great offenses as a coordinator and a head coach with mostly non-elite quarterbacks. I mean, Kirk and Matt Ryan, like good quarterbacks, but he's never had an Aaron Rodgers. So you put together one of the great creative offensive minds and coaches with one of the great quarterbacks of all time, even at age like 38, 39, 40, that could be a fun pairing. Plus Rodgers, he's much more of a California guy, right, than a Green Bay Midwest guy.
Absolutely makes perfect sense.
Go out to California and enjoy the twilight of your career. So San Francisco, number four.
Yep.
Number three. Again, this isn't ranked on like how likely, it's ranked on how much fun it would be. And it kind of makes sense.
San Francisco definitely makes sense.
The Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Constantly in search of a quarterback.
Yep.
Aaron, much like Brett, is going to have a certain percentage of his motivation be tied to wanting to stick it to the Packers, right?
It's the reverse Favre in the sense that he'd go to Chicago instead of Minnesota. Absolutely.
Go to one of your team's closest rivals and stick it to them twice per year, maybe a third time.
Now, this would need to take a year to unfold. So he'd probably have to have a pit stop before he could get to the Bears. But it would make perfect sense once that pit stop was done and the Packers lost all control of him.
Yep. I'm trying to think of the scenario. Like, the Packers would never trade him to a division rival. Trying to think of a scenario in which he would just be able to go from Green Bay to a division rival.
They'd probably try and my guess is if the Packers' hand was forced to try and trade him, they'd probably almost certainly try and do what Ted Thompson did.
AFC.
With Favre. Yes. Get him out of the conference.
Trade him to the Colts or something. Colts would actually make a lot of sense. They're not on my list, but
yeah, they would.
Number two on my list.
Yep.
The New England Patriots.
Oh, my God.
Oh, surgical.
Imagine.
Surgical.
So the comparison for almost 20 years has been, or 20 years for Brady, but then, you know, Rodgers starting in 2008, so 12, 13 years, has been, man, Rodgers is more talented than Brady, but he never had the infrastructure that Brady had with the greatest coach ever. And go look at the defensive rankings over 20 years for Brady. They're almost always top 10 defenses in New England. Rodgers has had a lot of garbage defenses. What if Rodgers had come up in the Bill Belichick ecosystem? Whoa. Can you imagine like 2 or 3 years of Belichick and Rodgers together making magic up
and
there?
And Rodgers.
It'd be pretty fun.
And Bill would basically, I think, just let Rodgers do exactly offensively, scheme-wise, what he wanted. And the other thing is, can you imagine the opportunity for Bill, who right now I'm sure is bitter about, you know, that son of a buck Brady goes to Tampa and I don't make the playoffs, right? Can you imagine shoving it down Tom's throat with a new love at quarterback?
See, that's why.
And then Rodgers, whose ego would be stroked massively by that, could show every, oh, yeah.
Dude, that's why I just don't think, I mean, Bill Belichick's almost 70 years old. I just don't know if he wants to go through, if he thinks he has to take on a project rookie like a Mac Jones or something, don't you think he'd rather just plug in Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers and let's just go to work?
I think he thought he might do that with Cam, and now it didn't work at all. But yes, I think that the prospect of Rodgers with the Patriots is so seductive on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. Back to Purple Daily in just a moment. Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online destination for risk management resources if you're a business owner. Think about how helpful it would be for you to have employee training at your fingertips, industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. That is where MyShield and Federated come in to make sure that you and your company have the tools necessary to have peace of mind and to have frontline protection. You can find out more about MyShield at federatedinsurance.com or download the app. And remember, at Federated, it's always our business to protect yours.
So many levels. And for Brady to look up to the Patriots now from Florida, look at New England and see Aaron and Bill. Oh.
It would be fun. It would be fun.
Love it.
But not as much fun as the number one team on my future destinations for Aaron Rodgers list. None other.
Wait, what?
than Aaron Rodgers replacing Kirk Cousins, let's say after 2021, as the Minnesota Vikings quarterback? Like I said on the Bears front, I don't know how it would work because I don't think the Packers would ever, even if it was like every first round pick ever until the end of time.
Yep.
Okay, that might sway them. But I just don't see a scenario in which they would trade him to Chicago or Minnesota. But could they get to a point where, all right, it's just like, it's so economic. Like they can just cut him and they don't have to eat any money. Like, you know, and they're going to have to eat money for the next couple of years based on the way his contract is structured. So I think there has to be a stop somewhere else first. I don't know how this happens yet, but I think the Vikings would be the most fun by far of all the teams on this list. Finish what Brett Favre started in 2009, Aaron.
So let's say the Packers trade him and a trade to the Patriots actually makes a lot of sense.
Patriots
to me, okay?
And Colts probably make the most sense.
Sure.
Right?
So, but let's say that if he's smart, and he is, Aaron just says, bleep it. I'm going to sign a series of 1-year contracts. And much like basketball players, I'm going to chase titles. Like, I don't care who I'm playing for. I'm going to look at every situation and I'm going to chase what I want, not what the team wants. Goes to the Patriots, takes a shot there. Maybe wins a Super Bowl. Who knows? Well, at this point in time, if he played on a 1-year deal with the Patriots, the Packers and Patriots have lost control, right? Now, let's say the second year after that, he says, you know what I'd really like to do now? Go shove it up the Packers, you know what, and win a championship. And the Vikings are ordinarily in a pretty good position. That's the one thing about the Bears. The Bears are sometimes, but they're not. The Vikings always feel, for the most part, like they're on the precipice of being good.
Aaron and Mike Zimmer have a good professional respect for each other. I don't know if Zimmer will still be around in 2022.
But anyway, the point being is, if he just goes to a point of chasing titles, you could get him here after he makes an AFC stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's plausible.
This is headed toward the exact same age-wise, AFC trade. It's the Brett Favre thing. They don't know how to divorce their legendary quarterbacks. They screw it up. It's amazing. The same thing is going to happen here.
Except for Bart Starr. But I mean, when you think about the parallels in some ways between those two, who when Rodgers joined the club couldn't stand Favre. When you think about the parallels, right? The fact that they're aging in Green Bay. And I still love the fact that 11 years to the day that Favre looked to his right at the Superdome and didn't hobble to his right for 5 yards to set up a field goal attempt. Yeah. Rodgers on third down looked to his right and said, I could run for some yards. Yeah. I'm going back across the middle. Exactly. He threw the same pass. It just didn't get picked.
Yeah. Back across the middle. Amazing parallels. Let's actually save, you've got, we'll save it for tomorrow. You have a team that the Vikings should be looking at with envy in the AFC. But give us your thoughts. Do you think that this will actually happen? Not Aaron to the Vikings, but you can comment on that too. But throw us a line in our YouTube comment section, youtube.com/purpledailypodcast. Do you think this thing is actually headed for a divorce with the Vikings' biggest rival? Or are cooler heads going to prevail on Aaron's side and he's just going to ride this thing out and go back to training camp, business as usual?
But I think after 2021, I don't see how it continues to work. And by the way, the clock is ticking on Love's contract.
Yeah, the value there
is the rookie contract, which is a 5-year contract. Okay, year one's done. That's fine, right? Year two, probably going to be done. Well, now I'm down to 3 years. I need for him to play in 2022, don't I?
Yeah, 100%.
Like I need, 100%. But I mean, I made a choice.
They also, they did the same thing with Aaron Rodgers back in the day. I think the contracts were different then, but I think that was a 4 or 5 year contract too. That was probably a little bit more compared to what a late first round pick would be now. Because I don't think they had the rookie draft scale in.
They didn't have it back then.
But they wasted 3 years of him being on a cheap deal too. And now they wound up winning a Super Bowl in like year two or three of him being a starter. But anyhow, it's a fun discussion.
Jordan Love started a clock ticking that you can't stop.
Agreed. Agreed. They should actually, if they're going to keep Rodgers and give him an extension, they should trade Jordan Love for like a second round pick. I don't know what he would even garner because no one's really seen him do anything. He hasn't even played in a preseason game because of COVID. So, all right, I'm Phil Mackey. That's Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff, and that's a wrap on this episode of Purple Daily. Write that down, predictions tomorrow on the show.